A hurricane is hitting Broadway every night at the Hudson Theater. It's a revival of Lanford Wilson's 1987 Burn This, which throws together a group of people on a life raft in a loft in New York after the death of Robbie, a gay dancer killed in a boating accident, probably a stand-in for the AIDS epidemic. Kerry Russell plays Anna, Robbie's roommate and dance partner. Adam Driver plays Pale, Robbie's brother, a big lug from New Jersey who obsesses over the crease in his suit pant and may have known a mob or two, but barely knew his brother. In this scene, he's coming into the loft off the street where he's picked a fight with some guy. It's one of the all-time great Broadway entrances.
Hey, Andy! Just go yourself, fella. Get laid. Do you good. Andy, hey, come on! All right, come on, come on, Jesus. Me this place. How can anybody live this I mean, what are these some bug-eyed, fat-lipped son of a thinks he owns this space. Oh, the city's got this.
And so begins a sometimes dangerous dance as Anna and Pale come to terms with the loss of Robbie. Kerry Russell comes to Burn This off the wildly successful The Americans.
You must be Adam.
Yeah.
Because you're the tallest guy in the room.
Yeah. Hello.
And Adam Driver plays Kylo Ren in Star Wars, was of course Lena Dunham's love interest in Girls, and he's now been nominated for a Tony for his Pale in Burn This. We sat down before a recent performance and started at the beginning, that entrance. That door opens and you burst out. What's happening behind that door? How do you get to that?
Every night it's kind of different. I've had weeks where you think about all the stuff that's happened leading up to him going there, then sometimes you've done that, and that's kind of run its course in its mind, so I kind of know that, so maybe I'll go through the steps. Sometimes I'm very calm, you know, backstage. I'm not really thinking about an end result, you know. I kind of let the precipice of the door be the launching kind of pad for it. So I'm still figuring it out.
It makes me want to come back to see, how will that entrance go another night?
Yeah, even in that scene, we've tried to block it where I just have to be in the general area for certain parts.
And I'm guessing you're not thinking this is being called the greatest entrance of the year, and so it has to... I'm betting you're not thinking that.
No, not at all. No.
You're calling on anything else, though, and it's not just the entrance. Later on, when your character just has that devastating moment, I mean, he's touching his heart, and his heart is breaking. There are several moments of this emotional outlet, and I was thinking of Marlon Brando, you know, Stella. Is there anywhere else that you're going for this character?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of something that we found in rehearsal and has morphed, you know, as we've gone along. An amazing thing about the play that I'm finding is that initially I really loved it for very much a play about grief. And at the time it was written, it was very much about all these beautiful men gone.
It was his AIDS play.
Yeah. Creativity gone, that conversation gone, and not having the words to express it. And the only one seems to actually have come into their own is Robbie, and he's all that beautiful work is now gone.
Just to remind people, he's the gay younger brother who was killed in the boat accident and brought all these people together.
Yeah. It wasn't until actually 2 weeks ago that before my entrance, I really was listening to what Anna was saying, and she was, one of her last lines is, they barely knew him. I danced with him for 3 years, and they didn't give me room.
The family.
Yeah, the family didn't give me room to express that, and I can't help but feel angry. Then 5 seconds later, Pale's coming in, and he's expressing it.
You're going to wake up tomorrow and find you slept in your car. This ain't your space. You trenching your pop-up headlights. Oh, Joe, I mean, am I right? Hey, there's no talking like that.
I'm sorry. Can I know you?
You know, and he's talking about somebody that's outside, but it has nothing to do with that. You know, it's kind of immaterial. It's all the things that he can't say that he's looking for anything to take it out on.
People weren't just wrestling with people that they loved going. Not only did they not know they were sick, but they did not know they were gay.
The loss of not knowing is a universal thing, and it's what makes that play, I feel, you know, timeless.
I'm thinking John Malkovich created that entrance, Ed Norton also performed this part. Both of them can be the scariest, you know, actors you've ever seen. Tell me what you were trying to do with your Pale, because as menacing as he is and as angry as he is, he feels like a big, I mean, you called yourself a Sasquatch once, but, you know, a big lug who can't get at the really big-hearted person that's inside him.
So I just kind of took it how I saw it on the page of he is a larger-than-life character, but he still has to be a person who's breathing in the world who you can touch, trying to wrestle with death in front of someone else. And it's kind of like a bird that, you know, is caught inside and it's just looking for a way out, looking for any kind of answer. And then at the end of the play, you kind of see him stone cold sober, which he says, "Don't be scared, I'm stone cold sober." So you really see who he is.
It struck me too, seeing it. Yes, it was Lanford Wilson's AIDS play. Definitely there's still concerns about AIDS and pain about the past. But we see it through a new lens, and I'm seeing it now as a class play. People from two different classes
Sure.
coming together. And it feels to me like your character, Pale, you know, one of the things that he's grieving is, wow, I didn't even know my brother took that risk and came out and was gay and was a dancer, and I got a musician inside me.
Our old man, when we was kids, music all over the place. You know, you couldn't hear yourself think. Vivaldi, Puccini. We all knew all that crap. Shostakovich. I've done like whole symphonies. Amazed people, natural talent, totally original like in the shower. And I don't sing Hall & Oates. I compose like tone poems, concertos, and huge, big orchestrations, used like two orchestras.
Do you read music?
Before, nobody does that.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that theme of class is huge. He immediately comes in and judges her as like, this is supposed to be arty, and it's actually, you know, it's a joke. I'm looking out the window and I see tugboats pushing 5 miles of trash. You waste your money on things like that. And then when he's there, he actually for the first time has to physically be in the space. And I don't think he's also expecting what to see, like, oh, this is the dance bar. This is the room where he was. And then he's trying to picture him, as he says in the play, I'm trying to imagine him here, and he can't do it. And then maybe he can, you know. And this is the, you know, there's something about the physical life in this play that and the fact that he's a dancer. So that's also what we took into consideration. What is the dance between Pale? How is he moving the space?
He's a bird trapped in a cage, or he's a panther. You know, strip away this, the guy who works with mobsters in a restaurant and it's, you know, every other word is an expletive at certain times. He's agile. He's beautiful. He could have been a dancer.
Yeah, I think he could have been. He's talked about being a composer, and I wrote these huge themes, and he could have done it. But the one person in their family who did is his brother.
Do you know people like that? I mean, did you also draw from people you might have known?
It changes every night. I mean, similar to the blocking, I don't try to come in knowing what the right answer is. I always feel at the end of the run of a play, at the last performance, like, oh, I'm finally making sense. It's just a little bit clearer now. I'm like a little bit more relaxed here. That I wish we can go back to the very beginning and I'd do it all over again. You know, it's like that thing you're pushing for perfection every night, knowing that you'll never find it.
Yeah. Note to myself, come to the last performance too to see that.
I hope it's different. I hope it's...
Can I ask you something? Really, it's personal and rude, and I probably shouldn't.
Okay.
But can I see your hand, one of your hands?
My hand?
Yeah,
that's
I want to.
Your
fingers are about, what would you say, 3 inches longer than mine?
Yeah.
You're of large presence. Mm. Carrie Russell is diminutive. Somebody said there's two simians on Broadway right now, King Kong and Adam Driver. Did you talk about that physicality?
No, because I can't change it.
Using it.
I guess we just found a physical life, but we didn't like really label like you're big, you're small. those were just the givens, I guess, on the first day.
Talk about the cast. We've been mentioning them, of course. Carrie Russell, Anna, Brandon Uranowitz plays Larry, the guy who works in advertising. David Furr, the very rich writer. There's a pas de deux, what is it when it's
contre.
Four?
Yeah, pas de quatre.
You and Anna have a scene which is volcanic. And I found myself watching Larry, because Larry is looking back and forth between the two of you. And I was thinking, what would I do if those were my friend? You know.
Right, right. No, there was a lot of talk about that scene in particular, because Larry does become the audience member. And he's creating the tension of being the witness to what this is. Pale is all this dialogue about not being dangerous, and you're not really, you know, not really quite sure if he is. He knows he's not internally, but you know, you're not really given a lot of information to say otherwise. I mean, he's hit Burton. The theme of music is something we talked about all the time. This is very much a four-person play, and everyone has their part to play. Every instrument is...
It's opera.
Yeah, very much. It's opera. There's a reference to jazz, blues, you know. But once we kind of thought of it musically, it fell in quicker.
Let's take one quick second. Both you and Carrie Russell are in the new Star Wars.
it's just us. You know, tell us the plot. You know, do you guys interact? Are we going to see another steamy scene between the two of you? It's just, again, this is
just us.
Just us.
Look at that building over there. Look at that building with the red brick. It's really beautiful. You know, this building, actually, is the oldest house on Broadway.
Okay. All right, then. Can I tell you something as an audience member? For what it's worth, when I left, I found myself glancing over at a gentleman who was coming out of a restaurant, looked like he might be a manager, you know. I was looking at a limo driver, looked like he might have been from New Jersey. I'm looking at him in a different way. There's something about your character that asks people to say, consider the person that you thought was just this.
Well, that's very moving, what you just said. That is worth it. That was very nice. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad.
Adam Driver. He was nominated for a Tony for his performance in Burn This. The show is also up for Best Revival. He says this is the kind of play he'd like to bring to his charity, Arts in the Armed Forces, which brings the arts to veterans and those still serving. That we'd like to see.